You're listening to Innovation for Alpha, where we explore everything at the intersection of healthcare innovation and finance. Through our discussions and interviews, we keep you informed and educated about healthcare innovations, next-level venture investing, and everything involving the combination of the two.
Hello, everybody. It's Tobin Arthur, your host for Innovation for Alpha, and today's a fun episode because we don't just have two people on the show. We've got three. I'm joined by my co-host, Yuri Cernandi, who is an incredible guy, technologist based out of Portland, and he is going to introduce our guest today, who is an incredible entrepreneur. I'm glad to share him with the audience. So, Yuri, welcome. Good to have you here, and why don't you lead us off and introduce Alex?
Awesome. Thank you, Tobin. So today I'm on location at the Pacific Echelon office and here with my good friend, founder and CEO, Alex Stone of Pacific Echelon. So Alex, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
And why don't you tell us a little about yourself and what you're doing on our show today?
Great. So gosh, Yuri, I've known you for several years now. I'm an owner of a security company. We do standard security. We also do some kind of technology-based security integrated with regular security. And we're based out of here, out of the Portland area. And we're currently working in several other Western states as well.
Alex, I got a little bit of a tour of the office earlier. You're in a new office. It's beautiful. You got the cool flag behind you. Tell us a little bit about the office. And then we'll get into the background of the company, but I also am curious, people see you there in Portland, but you're expanding quickly and we're going to get into that, but maybe just mention some of the other cities you're in too, just to get us started.
Sure. So we decided about a year ago to purchase a commercial building here in downtown Portland. That's where we're located. And the flag you see behind me used to fly over the USS Arizona Memorial at Joint Base Pearl Harbor Hickam out in Honolulu. And my brother was a U.S. Navy SEAL. He died on active duty 2017. The Parks Department, the U.S. Parks Department, decommissioned this flag that flew over that USS Arizona Memorial and gave it to our family. And we proudly put it on our wall here at our office. So we call it the Lodge. It's our Lodge.
That's super cool. So tell us a little bit about, why don't we go back a little ways? Give us your background. Like before you started Pacific Echelon, what were you doing and how did this company come to be?
Yeah, thanks for asking. My background is military and law enforcement. I also have been in business as well. In my 20s, I was in business in Texas. And my brother, who was a part of SEAL Team 3 at the time, said, hey, you really need to get into the fight. I think it was 2007. And meaning that it's, you know, you should go ahead and join the military. So I sold my business to my business partners in Texas and got into the United States Army. And I served as a chaplain. And a great career. I had a great time. Loved what I did, supporting the troops and nurturing the wounded, caring for the living, and great opportunity. I went into the reserve side while I was in the reserves, the United States Army Reserves. I got hired here in Oregon as a law enforcement officer and served in law enforcement until I became a whistleblower. And I actually signed a non-disclosure. You can Google me, Alex Stone, Police Officer Oregon, and the details will come up on New York Daily News, CNN. I can't really talk about that, but a good time. I decided to transition out of law enforcement after that and started a security company. And I guess we're currently in Washington, Oregon, Colorado, and New Mexico, moving into other states rapidly. And we have about 80 employees.
It's awesome. You know, Yuri and I are always talking about innovative companies, and he is extremely high about what you guys have done, has gotten involved with the company. But one of the reasons is, and I think you're understating what you guys are doing. It's not just a security company. I mean, this company is thinking about things differently. You're super innovative. You know, maybe from an outside perspective, Yuri, why don't you share what you first saw and kind of what you've been seeing as an insider with a little objectivity about this company, because it's not normal.
Sure. So Tobin, one of the unique things that I see that differentiates them from other security operators is that their tagline, security through community. And you know, a lot of people talk about community orientation, proactive policing, but these guys really mean it. And they operate really with the community in mind first. And really, that tagline is unique. And I think we kind of came up with that like a year ago now, right? Yeah, 2 years ago, as we were business planning and strategizing on how to help scale their operations. As you guys know, Portland is gone through a lot of community changes and it's gone through a lot of security issues. And his clientele are some of the biggest owner operators of multifamily real estate. Mm-hmm. And there's communities that live among them. And so they need an additional layer of protection that currently the current security model doesn't provide. And so aside from that, they're also incorporating beyond community, they're also incorporating latest and greatest technologies. And I'll let Alex kind of explain what we're doing from a technology innovation standpoint. And then really proactive boots on the ground. They're really the boots on the ground for a lot of the nonprofit partners that you guys have partnered up with and getting, medical supplies and other needs to the community. And these guys actually go above and beyond. They feed the houseless and not just once a year type of thing for Thanksgiving. That's easy, right? These guys mm-hmm. do it on at scale on a frequent level. So Alex, I think I'll let you expand, but that's my perspective on the outside looking in.
I think that we're unique in several ways. The community engagement is unique. So in the industry, there's really two dominant models of security. There's observe and report, and then there's, hey, we're law enforcement. We're no longer in law enforcement. We're going to continue to operate as if we are in law enforcement. Mm. And that model is escalatory. The other model just doesn't provide any security at all. In the 90s, the 80s, when staffing levels were, at least decent for the emergency services, observe and report worked because if you called 911, you would get a response. Now, if you call 911, Portland has one of the largest response times. Most of the major cities that we're going into have longer response times than normal, which is around 7 minutes nationally. Here in Portland, it's double than that. This is for a major incident.
Wow.
So we said, what can we do that's different? So we said, we don't want to act like these two models. So we looked overseas and said, what's working overseas? And we adopted really the kind of the Peace Corps special operations model. We run a three-pronged strategy. We run what we call community engagement or social dynamics influencing. We run an intelligence / investigative service. And then we run our security operations. And they all feed into one security platform for all of our clients. I can get into details about that, but the secret sauce is amazing and it tastes great, right? And then on top of that, in kind of community engagement model, we have an overlay of technology. So our technology kind of subsidiary is Sentinel Overwatch Services, or SOS. Sentinel Overwatch uses or utilizes video analytics systems to analyze live video monitoring. We have criminal analytics or AI engines that notify us when these types of analytics are occurring live. And rather than that going to a some type of call center or video monitoring center halfway around the world, the analytics within 1 second notifies the district guard that's on patrol 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So essentially what we're doing is we're reducing that cycle time, right? If recycle time in the industry is the enemy. Cycle time is the time it takes for a person to be in trouble, call 911, and have dispatch notify law enforcement of the situation and to get law enforcement en route. That's typically, in our industry, that's around 7 minutes. And so if you're in your house and someone breaks in your house, law enforcement is not going to be notified of the incident for about 4 to 7 minutes. So what we're doing is we're taking that and we're shrinking it down to around 90 seconds. 90 seconds, and then our guard is almost always about 3 to 4 minutes away. So the entire response cycle time is almost always going to be less than 5 minutes.
Wow.
One of our clients is Pendleton Wool Company. They had someone that broke into their building. We were able to get on site, had the person in handcuffs and detained for law enforcement in 2 minutes and 27 seconds.
Jeez.
And that's the time the alarm sounded upon the legal entry. Yeah.
So we've talked a little bit about some of the technology. We don't need to get into the details necessarily, but I want to go back to the community piece because it's super innovative. So one of the things you shared with me, Alex, and anybody that's been to Portland or frankly, any major metropolitan area these days, Denver, of course, included, is these homeless camps. And, you know, it's a nuisance and it's a lot of different things, but it turns out it's also a kind of a highway for a lot of crime. Drugs, weapons are being hidden there by people who are coming in and out of town and using these camps. You were sharing with this me, I would have had no idea that this exists. Maybe explain a little bit about that and why interacting with the homeless community is not just there's a charitable component. Certainly you're helping those communities out, but there's also a defensive component to this.
Yeah, that's great. I love that you remembered this and that you're asking about this. So the houseless community, the majority of the houseless are indeed actual houseless people. People that are drug addicted, people with mental health disease or disorders, right, that don't rise to the level of imminent threat, so they can't be institutionalized. And so among this population are criminal elements, right? And the first level of victimization is the houseless person. And then beyond that, that houseless person becomes enslaved essentially to that criminal element to engage in lower level crimes, including drug dealing, which basically here is not even really a felony unless it's around a school. And then also different types of lower level thefts, vehicle theft, you know, misdemeanor thefts. And so what we do as an entity, we go in and we go in kind of like, you know, USAID or Band-Aid, and we go and we offer resources every day. So we go tent to tent and we establish these core relationships with this community member that's on the street level. This relationship building allows us to, number one, gather intelligence, so we understand what's going on, and then allows it, that will then feed into our security apparatus, determining our security platform for an area. It also allows us to correctly identify criminal elements. So some of the things that go on, very large sex trafficking issue. A lot of this are occurring at tents. We did a private investigation for a consortium of business owners, and we determined that this one area, not only were they engaging in firearms and narcotics sales, but they were actively trying to sex traffic females out of tents. They would roofie them, they would get them intoxicated, and then put them in vans. These vans would then be gone all day, 12 hours a day, and then come back and drop the women off where they would be intoxicated and left in tents under guard. And so we were able to identify this and get the city involved, get other officials involved, and several arrests were made.
Nice.
Yeah. So a lot of that, also weapons caches, as you mentioned. There are a lot of people engaged in direct action events or just, let's say, not criminal activities. They don't want to carry guns, so they will pay a person on the street. And usually it's someone from a prison gang or some other gang. They'll have a tent set up, two or three tents from the tent they're living in, and it's a weapons cache. We discovered a weapons cache being used by an entity engaged in direct action events. There were over 100 weapons, axes, crowbars, machetes, and this individual admitted to us, yeah, I get paid $300 a month to keep these weapons here. People can drive into Portland. Two or three people get the weapons. They'll, you know, give these weapons out to a crowd and then regather them and then go put them in this weapons cache. And that way they're able to travel to and from with no kind of criminal intent in the vehicle. So
it's amazing. Do you guys, by chance, I'm curious, do you have statistics at all on any of your clients or areas where your model relative, you know, compared to, you know, another model locally? In other words, is there some metrics that you can point to that might be interesting for, you know, real estate management companies listening to this?
Yeah. So I do. I don't have them prepared. That's a great question. Yeah. We have the ability to run analytics or metrics from our platform. You know, this is not usually a popular thing to talk about because in Portland, they don't really book people anymore. They write citations. So when you're talking about official statistics come from arrests and bookings, which create an FBI number or add an incident to an FBI number. And then you have conviction rates through the DA's office. These are the two forms of stats we're given. Well, currently, very few prosecutions are occurring and very few arrests are occurring, right? So the stats actually show a decrease in crime in Portland. The last time I looked at the stats was the last quarter of last fiscal year. And it said that there were no sex crimes in Old Town or what is called Chinatown, which is about 80 blocks in downtown Portland, right? And Chinatown historically houses 10% of Portland's houseless population. So around 450 people are houseless, living in tents in Old Town historically. And so they're saying that no sex crime occurred in the entire 80 blocks, right? Well, what that means is there was no prosecution or actual arrest or right. No one was booked under an FBI number.
Yeah.
That being said, our metrics do show a decrease in criminal activity. We show a decrease in call volume. That's how we do it. So I'm directly across the street from what is one of the larger multifamily residential properties in the Central District or downtown Portland. When we took this property on, there were around 20 major calls for service to emergency services every day. I think the highest they had was like 27 one time.
Wow.
We've taken over this property. We've trespassed over 400 people from the property for criminal behaviors. And now we're lucky to get one call for emergency services a day. That's for incredible. An overdose, domestics, you know, these types of things, gun violence. Incredible.
Well, and you mentioned another statistic, which was incredible, that, you know, you guys are able to get on site in minutes and diffuse the threat, which is significant. So if I'm assuming here, tell me if this is correct. If I'm a developer and I've got large properties, or I'm a property management company, multifamily, commercial, hospital systems, are these the types of clients that are kind of in your wheelhouse?
Yeah, hospital systems, school districts, multifamily residential portfolios, ownership portfolios, new construction portfolios. We have management company portfolios, almost anything you can imagine. We also, we do executive protection as well. We have a city contract for Pioneer Square. They rent it out to a company and then they hire us for their armed security. So yeah, almost anyone you can imagine we're working for.
Well, you guys are one of the fastest growing security companies in the country for a reason. And obviously developers are jumping on this, or real estate, you know, companies. But as a younger, newer company, you know, I'm sure there's some entrenched incumbents like in every industry. When you're talking with a prospective client, you know, how does that conversation go, where they're looking at maybe the old guard? It's kind of like in the technology world, there's the old adage, nobody gets fired for recommending IBM. Or, you know, when you're trying to beat the incumbents, what kind of friction do you guys get? And is it just a matter of showing them the results that wins it over? Or what's the process been like for you as an entrepreneur?
You're asking amazing questions. I want you to know that. So the most resistance that we face when engaging new clients is their lack of belief when it comes to our community transformation model. Mm-hmm. So what I do is, when I go to an area, I don't sell site security, right? That's the typical, that's the legacy model, right? Okay. We don't sell these observe and report fake law enforcement legacy models. We sell community transformation. We say, look, we do a full private investigation, and we do a heat map and say, this is your criminal element. These are your criminal elements. We say, this is the prison gang. This is the street gang. These are the street corners they're operating out of. This is their criminal activity. This is their business criminal activities. And then we say, this is the security platform that's going to transform this community, right? And the most important part of this activity is community engagement. And this all goes back to the broken windows social theory of urban decay, sure. Right? Broken window says, essentially, when people lose emotional investment in a property, real investment flees. When no one is invested emotionally and financially, Other elements see it as free property. They come over, they take over that area, and then that just tends to grow.
Sure.
Right. This was expedited. So we're in a generational crime wave, right? This was expedited by COVID. Mm-hmm. The COVID lockdowns, whether you were for or against, right? COVID. These lockdowns.
I'm against COVID, by the way.
Yeah, I assume. These lockdowns, I'm a registered Democrat. I'm not scared to say that, but whatever. these lockdowns, what they did was they destroyed what Starbucks likes to call the third place,
right?
Right? So it used to be home, work, and third place, your coffee shop, your Whole Foods market, your yoga studio, your gym. And so all of these places, these are the places where we're emotionally invested in our communities near our workplace or our home place, the first and second place. During COVID, we had a 24 to here in Portland, almost a 30-month platform that said, hey, we want you to disinvest, right? To divest from investing emotionally in your third places. Mm-hmm. And what this essentially did was it created an urban decay spiral, mm-hmm. a death spiral for urban decay, because it fed into the broken windows policy. And so in order to reinitiate that, we have to do community events. So we actually have barbecues. We'll do full on barbecues in neighborhoods where we're feeding the houseless and the people in the streets and the people in the businesses, residences, or even people working. And we invite people out into the street and say, hey, meet your neighbors. We're recreating community engagement.
Nice.
It does work. And it's important because people need to see that they're a part of a community, a neighborhood. And once you get that, once you have that, once you have a coalition of a neighborhood coming together, people that see that as people that are in the criminal industry no longer see that area as an easy target. They say, hey, this place has a neighborhood patrol. This place has a weekly clean team that comes and cleans up. This place has so much community engagement. They're going to see license plates. They're going to remember faces. If there's a crime, something's going to be reported. This is what pulls away those layers of that criminal activity, is that community engagement. So
I'm curious just on that real quick. This is just more of a curiosity of mine. So everything you're describing in that sounds very apropos to an urban environment. Like if I'm in a downtown Portland, downtown Denver, Seattle, Boston, New York, LA, I get that. I see that. You see that urban decay, the third place, even the second place has been shut down. Does this translate at all into suburban communities as well, or is it different because of the dynamics that would be different there?
So, yes, 100%. Right. So as urban decay occurs, and you have, what was considered white flight in the 60s, but essentially if the flight of investment from an urban area, that first ring, which, Kimco Properties, they 95% of their portfolios is that first ring, that suburban ring. Mm-hmm. Everyone flees to the suburban ring. Well, so do criminals, mm-hmm. right? And they're actually harder to catch because they're operating out of the urban center. And then they're going out to the suburban areas, breaking in vehicles, stealing catalytic converters, stealing bikes. There's an RV that I know, because we did an investigation on, we'll go out to Beaverton, which is a suburb of Portland. They go behind a Fred Meyer's parking lot. And between 4 and 6 in the morning, about 30 people line up with bikes and they just hand out cash and throw the bikes in the RV.
Wow.
And So. Yeah, these are the suburban centers. And so the way we combat that is we go to the HOAs in these suburban areas and say, you need a full-time security presence at night. Your HOA should contract our company to set up a full plan. And we have many different layers of plans. And then we go into an area and we sell the entire area for us as a security plan. And, the platform, again, it's not just observe and report. We do community engagement, meaning if there's anyone walking around, we go and talk to them. Not like a cop, but like a community member. Hey, what's going on? My name's so-and-so. How are you doing? How's your day today? This level of engagement makes people that are in the criminal industry wary of wanting to do any type of business in that area, right? So yeah, definitely suburban areas are affected. And they have their own security platform that follows. Yeah.
So we'll put information in the show notes, the website, certainly the link. And, if you're a, a property management company, large, medium, et cetera, particularly in the cities that Alex and Pacific Echelon are in, you can get a hold of them, but they're expanding. They're going to, if they're not in your city yet, they're coming. Yuri, is there anything you want to hit on or maybe touch on before we wrap?
I was going to say your earlier question to me is what makes these guys different? There's all this stuff in between, but at the end of the day, the bottom line is impact. You know, you know, there's statistics that are kind of skewed, as Alex was saying, that from a public standpoint, but these guys have real time metrics and, you know, the Pendleton use case scenario, for example, but it's not just a reactive point in time response. It's a proactive approach. Mm-hmm. And they're not there for the short term and just kind of waiting for stuff to happen reactively. They're thinking mid to long term and making immediate impacts. You know, there's a longer strategy at play, but the immediate impact is very, very short term. So I think that's the, you know, you take all the technology, you take all of the, you know, these mm-hmm. forward thinking innovative strategies away. I think the most important thing is that impact.
Well, the reason Yuri and I wanted to get you on, Alex, was multifold, but the show's Innovation for Alpha. It's not just about technology and innovation, although Yuri and I love technology innovation, but it's really about innovative thinking. And you guys are clearly an example of innovative thinking in this sector. So it's super cool to showcase that and highlight that. Also wanted to showcase you for, again, those in our community, particularly if you have large properties, either commercial, multi-tenant, or hospital systems, a lot of which are in our network, you know, at a minimum, they need to be talking to you. And this is a great company that we're excited about and appreciate you giving us a little glimpse. We want to have some follow-on discussions and maybe talk about aspects of what you're doing and things as an entrepreneur that you've learned. And we can get into those at a later date, but this is a good introductory segment on Pacific Echelon. So thanks a ton for spending a little time with us.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Alex, for being on the show.
Always. Thank you.
Alex also gets the award, by the way, for coolest backdrop in an office. So
yes.
There's that. All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, thanks. You too. Thanks.
See you again soon for the next episode of Innovation for Alpha. Make sure to go to Innovation for Alpha for access to prior episode links, show notes, and other valuable resources. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any investment decisions, please consult with a professional. This show is copyrighted by Angel Indie Media, and written permission must be granted before syndication or rebroadcasting.